Good morning. It's good to be home. Thank you. I just wanted to say thank you to those of you in the Rock Church who prayed and who have kept this in your prayers, this trip to Korea, and also the people who financially supported. It wouldn't have been possible without your help. And so I just wanted to say a huge thank you. So while we were in Korea, as I reflected back on just what he's done through this time and the time before when I went in 2015, I was reminded of his faithfulness, how he's so faithful. In 2015, I had such a profound moment. I was asking God what his call was in my life, and he said, "Seek me." It was just two words, "Seek me." And then that is what led me to go to Africa, 2017, where I asked him, "God, you got me here. You've been faithful. Thank you. And as my time here is coming to an end, what is next?" And his answer was, "Follow me." So profound when he speaks and when you pray and he answers. There's just so much joy. And now, I'm sorry, I didn't want to cry. Now we get to live it out, you know. When he says, "Follow me," the last times we've gone have been it's just been me and Brenna, you know, and our team from the church, leaders. And it's just so incredible that God entrusted youth from our nation, from Nishka, to come. Youth who... They don't go to church. They've never experienced that life, this life, and just the blessings that come when you live for him and when you serve him. And so you don't know how huge it is just to see the transformation that has happened in their lives through this trip. And it was all about God. All, you know, every single day we were praying with them and just encouraging them and speaking life. And it's just powerful and empowering to see what God is doing now. And even though we went as leaders, me and Brenna, I feel like we didn't do much. Like we just led by example, you know, and I think God really, really led them, and I think he really, really brought healing in their life through this trip. And the whole purpose of this trip was, it was a mission trip. It was an educational trip, and for them, for all of us, actually, to catch the vision in Korea throughout our time there. And I just want to share from, I really believe that there was a lot of seeds that were planted that went out in all of our lives throughout this time when we were there, and that God is going to cause growth. And I really believe that they heard from God, and I just want to share Matthew 13, it's the parable of the sower. "That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it. While all the people stood on the shore, then he told them many things in parables, saying, 'A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. I think that's what's happening, and I'm grateful. God is advancing his kingdom, and I believe many of you have seen on my Facebook post, so I didn't want to really share too much about in detail what we did, but there's so much. And I guess one of the highlights was we went to learn about the history of Korea. We went to a place called the Independence Hall, where we learned about where they came from, what they endured as a nation, how they rose up in victory, and the success that they're in now. They're so advanced, technologically, educationally, just, it's crazy how much they value the wisdom of God. And that was what the message was when we went to church. We went to visit a couple of churches while we were there, and we had the opportunity to share testimony of what God is doing here. And it was powerful. We also got to sing and worship in our language, in Nishka. And that was so incredible, so just liberating to have that opportunity. And to have the youth, you know, to see them from the beginning struggling with depression and just, you know, emptiness, to see a huge transformation at the end, you know, them speaking out of the Bible. So grateful. You know, God brought them out of depression into joy. That's what he does. They were inspired. They want to go to, one of them wants to go to a Bible university now. And also, this was a huge dream of ours. We prayed into it, to bringing youth, not just having it for ourselves, you know, going on these trips and seeing what God is doing in other nations, having it transform our lives to bring it back here. We prayed that we would have that opportunity to bring youth and who haven't experienced it, and God did it. And we prayed for more. And now we might have a team started to go to the World Equip 2020 in Africa. They really want to go, so if we could just keep that in prayer and keep trusting for not only First Nations youth, but like, it's incredible to see that, but all the youth, you know, in every nation God loves and has incredible purposes and plans for them. Thank you so much for allowing me to share.
let's pray together and bless these seeds for the work that God is doing, and the obvious fruit. God, where he is, there's fruit. And thank you for that, Lord. Lord, we thank you for Leilani and Brenna, these young people that went, Lord, that this is like a seed pod. It's like the beginning. It is not the end of what will happen. It's the beginning of what will happen. So we thank you for this testimony. We thank you for pouring your spirit out over Leilani and Brenna and over the Nishka nation and over the young people of the Nishka nation, and opening the way, Lord, for more and more of your spirit to be poured out, for the adoption of many, Lord, into your kingdom, and to see many raised up to walk in the footsteps of those that went before. So we thank you for blessing Leilani and Brenna for stepping out in faith and seeing you work. Just bless them, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mike has said that by the number of pages that he has in his sermon, it means nothing. Okay, so. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just give you thanks for your word. We thank you that you cover over your word to perform exactly what you want your word to perform. And it never returns void. It always accomplishes what you've sent it out to do. And we thank you that your word can find home in our hearts. And we thank you that your word can change us. And we thank you, Lord, that when you change us and we walk with you, Lord, it brings glory right back to you. And so we thank you for loving us like that. We ask your blessing on this, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We just went through an equipping time here with Kenny Maureen and Francis and Nadine, and they shared many wonderful truths with us concerning having a pioneering spirit, being ready and willing to step into the things of God, to be stepping out in faith, doing the work of God, working together as a community of God, the blessing of God on the rock, the future and the hope that God has given us. Beautiful, beautiful time. Before that, before they came, we had heard many messages on the inheritance that God has given us and bringing us into. And that's what I want to continue sharing on this morning. Our inheritance, and I call this our inheritance, the pathway. Much of my personal Christian life, I've been guided through allegory of a pathway. When I was a young Christian, I got a hold of a book called Pilgrim's Progress. This book is 340 years old, published in 1678, and a powerful allegory of the human experience in moving towards Jesus, coming to the cross, being delivered from the burden of sin, and walking out your Christian faith until the final inheritance, eternal life with God forever. It's a wonderful book. If you haven't read it, I'd recommend it. There's a blessing upon the book. It's been translated into 200 languages. At one point, the Bible was the most popular book in the world, and Pilgrim's Progress was the second at one point of history somewhere back a couple hundred years. It's a very good book. And your kids, read it to your kids. It's a story that kids would love too, but very deep truths in that book. So much of my Christian walk, God speaks to me through pathways, walking the path, staying on the path, being true to the path, seeing the path, understanding the path so we can walk on the path. Much of what God shares with me is like that. And so there's an inheritance for the saints of God. And God shows, ministers to me through showing me the way, the pathway to walk on it. Now, the last message that Mike shared with us about this, he shared a sobering word with us. On how a life lived for self creates a loss in our life, that there is a loss that we inherit instead of inheriting life. And he used this scripture to underpin that truth, 1 Corinthians 3:11-15. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. As one of the foundational scriptures that Mike used when he shared these things with us, and it was sobering. And I took it like that, that in life, we live out our life, the path of life before us. And in how we live, we build. We heard today that Leilani and Brenna went out and experienced, and then they came back and they took young people Well, that was building, because they got built when they went out. So somebody built gold, silver, and precious stones into them. But then they came back and they took a team of young people that didn't know God over to Korea, and they built into those young people gold, silver, and precious stones. So as we move through life, we're always building something. And our building materials are very important. This scripture says that you can also build with wood, hay, and straw. And we know that gold, silver, and precious stones get better under heat and pressure. They're worth just as much or more under heat and pressure. And we know wood, hay, and straw. Is it stubble and straw? We know what happens to those under heat and pressure. They get burned up. So, in inheritance, the word inheritance carries with it something that you get that someone else gives you. That's what's wrapped in there. So you're receiving something. The direction by which we receive inheritance is never us to God first, but from God to us first, then from us to others. That's the direction that we look at when looking at the path. We don't devise the path, walk on the path, and then say, look at what I did to God. God directs the footsteps. We walk out the footsteps, and we thank God for what he did. It's always that flow. From God to us, from us to others, and in that, ultimately, when we walk that direction from that flow, it brings glory back to God, if we walk that direction. 2 Corinthians 4, 6 to 10. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So the ability to walk out a life on the path of life, building with gold, silver, and precious stones, is from God and not from us. God's the one who said, let the light shine. And he's the one that shone into our hearts the light of the knowledge of God. For his own glory, it says. So that is from God to us. Then there's us. Matthew 6, 19, 21. To us, the Lord says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. From God to us, then we find a treasure. If our treasure is with God and his will for our lives, if that's what our treasure is, then we'll store up treasures in heaven. It always amazes me how wonderfully secure God is, since he's putting everything on the other side of the line of life and death. You know, you know you're going to have to pass through the grave to get to heaven, right? The promises of God are to you, yes and amen. And you get to inherit eternal life completely after passing through the grave. He has put it on the other side. So you're going to need to use something to walk with God. What do you think that is? Faith. You're going to need to use faith to walk with God, or you cannot walk with him. Faith must be in process. It must be a part of what you're doing. In the Old Testament, God gave promise to Israel that they would be delivered from slavery and be given a land of their own. the promise of inheritance. So if God to the people first told them that they would have this new land, Abraham, believing God, left his family and followed. They went through quite a journey to get themselves into slavery. God promised to take them out of that slavery and give them the land of their own or an inheritance. After God promised this to Israel, he produced a massive amount, huge displays of power and provision to bring them out. So the Israelites then go into training, then they had a strategy, and then they kicked Pharaoh's behind and left. God, on behalf of the Israelites, delivered them from Egypt and took them out, promising them their own land. So off they went on a couple-week journey. And it took them years and years and years to accomplish that. And that's significant to us today because God has promised us an inheritance. He's also promised us victories in life if we follow him. And there's something that we need to be aware of by reading the stories of the Old Testament as examples to us, is that God doesn't get overly excited with the number of kilometers we put on. He wasn't overly excited that it took them 40 years to do a three-week journey. He didn't celebrate like, wow, you guys can walk in the wilderness. You know? He doesn't celebrate the long distance that we would have gone because of poor choices when the journey is short to inheritance. So that's for an example to us that we wouldn't take the long road, that we would take the short road to inheritance. In Matthew 11, 28 to 30, the Lord says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest." That rest that the Lord is talking about is the first rest we receive when we receive Christ and we are saved and we are forgiven of our sin and we know it. When I got forgiven of my sins, a huge load came off my life. I couldn't believe it. I grew up in Fort St. John. I was a redneck. I was like 13 years old, driving dump trucks in the middle of the night down the rig roads. I was a little wild man. And God got a hold of my life when I was 19. And the burden of my sin came off me. I couldn't explain it. I felt so alive and so free and so light. And I can remember because I was a party animal. I partied all the time. And I can remember running down the streets of Fort St. John, finding my friends and spinning them around and saying, "Do you know Jesus?" And they're like, "Who are you? What did you do with my friend?" And they soon found out that I had dramatically changed. And that's what this is talking about. "Come to me, all you that are weary and burdened." See, I was burdened down with my sin. And he gave me rest from that when he forgave me and that burden came off my back. Then he says this, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." That's a second rest. The rest for your soul is the rest that you find in daily life when you're walking out service, Christian service. Because you know you didn't do anything to get saved, like I knew. In fact, I used to argue with God because he was going out of his way to tell me he loved me. And I used to say, "But God, why? Like, there's a lot more nicer people than me. Why are you interested in me?" And he said, "I love you." I want you in my family. I want you to be my son. I want to forgive all your sins. You know, and I came into rest. But this second rest is because I know he loves me, and because I know I didn't deserve it, and because it's free, I want to serve. I'm free to serve. I don't have a big thing I'm dragging around. It's been severed and cut away by hands that were not human. And they're gone. And so there's a rest in your daily walk. That's the pathway of inheritance. The daily walk is a pathway to inheritance. So we inherited eternal life when we accepted the free gift that Jesus gave us because he died on the cross for our sins. We accept that free gift. But we come into inheritance as we walk out our salvation. And that peace or rest that God gives us is knowing Jesus and walking out his character. So we are not like Jesus. I got saved. I wasn't like Jesus. Okay? I was still smoking and I was still carrying on. I was still partying. I didn't even know. Like, I got saved without a Christian. Okay? But the Christian in my life was my mother, who would pray for me constantly and leave scripture verses and notes on my pillow so I would find them after coming home drunk. That's the Christian in my life. And when I got saved by going, wow, all of these notes. You know, I was so frustrated. And there must be a God, but I don't know him. And so I'm going to ask him to come into my life. So I can remember during a course of a week, coming home late at night, laying on my bed in the pitch black, and going, Jesus, come into my life. And then I'd wait. And there was nothing. And there was no light. And nothing lit up the room. And I would go, ah, he doesn't want me. I don't blame him. I wouldn't want me either. But then I thought, I'll try again next week, like tomorrow. So I would wait, middle of the night, Jesus, come into my life. Nada. Nothing would happen. But I don't know the Bible. I don't know Christians. I don't know church. I don't know anything. I don't know what's happening. I didn't know the Bible said, all that call on the name of the Lord will be saved. I didn't know the Bible said that, but did it matter that I didn't know that? You don't know the Bible says that, so you're not saved. No. I don't think there's a rule like that. So God came the first time I asked. But he came inside my heart. He came into my life. What happened to me, and it's strange, but what happened to me is I didn't change my life. No, I went back out to party. I got the beer all around me. I got all my friends. I was living like that, and God was in me. And I can remember. I'd be at the party, and everybody's, you know, yeah. It's a cult. It's a cult of partying. Anyway, I can remember thinking, why are these people so crude? Don't they know God's around? I was like, where did that come from? And I stopped swearing. So God came into my life. So he came into my life. I knew I didn't deserve that. I got forgiven. I met my old friends. I asked them, do you know Jesus? But as I started walking, I recognized I'm not like Jesus. He's given me the gift of salvation, and I'm not like him. I don't think like him. I don't act like him. I don't do what he does. That's the path of inheritance, to think like him, to act like him, to walk like him, to do what he does. That's a second rest. You know you're saved, and now he is going to give grace for you to walk out your salvation, growing and developing in the character of Jesus. That's where we're at. Some point on that road or that path right now, every one of us are on at some point. We are inheriting as we go forward. I can remember my wife and I praying for Cassandra and believing for her and seeing her come into what we had believed for her when she was little with this young man, who's a wonderful treat. I mean, he's a godly man, loves God, and is laying his life down for the gospel in Zimbabwe, and has huge vision. And this is what he did. He went to Cassandra and he said, "Cassandra, I would like permission to pursue you." And Cassandra said, "Yes." Well, Cassandra had talked to me about this young man 2 weeks after arriving there. And this young man was put on Ghislaine's heart when we were there, before Cassandra ever met him. Ghislaine told me when we left, she said, "I wonder if this young man would be a husband for Cassandra." She told me that when we left there. Do you remember that? And and so it is a pathway. And there is inheritance on that pathway. That's a pathway of silver, gold, and precious stones. And then there is a pathway, and Mike did a massive job, and a wonderful job of showing us that pathway of wood, hay, and stubble. And we want to stay off that because that's the 40-year trip. That's the long road. And eventually, after 40 years, you've got a lot of wood, hay, and stubble. And then there's a big blaze. Not fun. Anyway, so we want to be on the short journey to our inheritance as we walk forward in this life. And that's character, the character of Christ. There's one thing that to point out. I want to read it quickly. I'm just going to check my time here. Yeah, we've got a few minutes. Luke 17, 20 to 35. "Once, on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, 'The kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you.' Then he said to his disciples, 'The time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. People will tell you, there he is, or here he is. Do not go running after them, for the Son of Man,'" it means 180, about face. "Our job is to turn our face towards him so we may do a short journey of developing Christ-like character." And short is relative to all of our characters, okay? We don't judge. "Through these, he has given us every great and precious promise so that through them you may participate in the divine nature." Okay? This is the key to inheritance. Participation in the divine nature. As you walk out your life with Christ and you submit to changes, adjustments to your character, to adopt Christ's character, you're participating in the divine character that's been promised by God and secured by his divinity and power. Having escaped the corruption in the world, having, past tense, escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So the path that leads to the 40-year journey is caused by other desires. That's how you go on a long journey, by having other desires. And that's why the corruption is in the world, because of those desires. And it says, we have escaped it. We escape it by going this way. So, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith." So for this reason, for these reasons that we talked about this morning, the reason that Jesus Christ came, that he died on a cross, that he paid for our sins, that he is offering us forgiveness free. For the reason that we have accepted it, that we have become born again Christians, for the reason that he dwells within us, and that we have faith in him, add to your faith goodness. That's right, goody two-shoes. Add to your faith goodness. Be good. Be good. Do good things. Do good things. Do good things until somebody's sick of good things. Add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge. The knowledge of God. Read your Bible. Pray your Bible. Sing your Bible. Study your Bible. Get used to using your Bible. And learn to divide the word of truth. Knowledge. Add to your knowledge self-control. Why? Because with all of that knowledge, you're going to get all puffed up. And you're going to all feel free and powerful. But it's not true. So add some self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. Why? Because you want to give up. Once you're on this path and you're moving forward and you're growing in the character of Christ and you're dealing with pride and you're dealing with other issues, you're going to want to give up. So add perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. Be like God. And to godliness, if you can add anything, and you can because the Bible says so, you can add to godliness mutual affection. And that it says brotherly love. Mutual affection, brotherly love. And to brotherly love, eventually you'll get to a place where you love everybody. This is the ultimate goal of the character of Christ. For God so loved everybody, he gave his only begotten Son. This is the ultimate goal for every human on earth, that we would become like Jesus, who gave himself for us, so we might give ourselves for others. This is the ultimate goal. This is, if you want to read it, 2 Peter chapter 1 gives you the path. There's this nice path there for you to follow. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, and then that means we're all growing, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But whosoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. When you're nearsighted, blind, and forget, you wander for many years. Remember the path. The path to inheritance, you're on it. The short path. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And that doesn't mean you'll never make a mistake. That means you'll never fall away from the faith. That means you'll never shipwreck your faith. You'll never say, I'm a Buddhist now. I'm a happy Buddhist. I'm not a Christian. You'll never do that. If you continue on this path, you'll never do that. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That rich welcome and eternal kingdom, all that spells inheritance. Okay, that's the whole goal. That's a reward. That's what we're doing here. We are participating in this for the ultimate reward of the real, which is eternity with God. Amen. So that's my close. But I do want to honor the Holy Spirit this morning and ask if we could just bow our hearts. And if there's anybody who's been sitting under this gospel who wants that forgiveness that Jesus Christ gives so freely, I'd just like you to raise your hand so we can pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.